The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. On our last several programs, we have been discussing the subject of metamorphosis. As a teacher, the etymology of that word occurs to me. Really means a change of form. And we have been discussing how insects in particular, during their life cycle, will change form. They start out as eggs. They spend a part of their life cycle in a larval stage, an immature stage. Then there is usually a resting stage. And then finally the adult stage. And of course, mating occurs with the adults, and we're back to the eggs again. I sometimes give thought to those of you who listen to the program. I assume there are some who listen regularly. I hope so. I'm sure that there are others who, for whatever reason, will listen occasionally. And hopefully, on occasion, there will be some people who have not heard it before, who are here for the first time. And particularly for a layman, a person who really has no broad experience in science, the things we talk about may seem rather forbidding and rather perhaps useless. And so perhaps it's well occasionally for us to go back and simply inform those of you who are listening about why the programs were started in the first place. I am a college science teacher. There in past years have been several people who contributed to the program, although I have been doing them by myself for the last several years. And our intent when we begin is simply as a group of scientists who are saved people, who have recognized their sinful nature and repented of our sins and asked the Lord to save us, to help fellow believers who are do not have that background in science, to understand basically that there is nothing in science that demands an evolutionary explanation. The idea of things simply coming into existence randomly over millions and billions of years, and hopefully will provide some confidence for fellow believers who don't have a great deal of knowledge about science, not to be frightened of the idea of evolution. And we also hoped that there would be some people who are evolutionists who would listen to the programs and begin to realize that there is a completely different view of nature itself, a view that it has been created, that it did not simply come into existence by itself, but it was the product of an omniscient, omnipotent creator. And as we've observed a number of times on the program, the Bible indicates clearly that it is the nature that we see around us, the universe that we see around us, which the Bible tells us makes every individual who has ever lived accountable for two ideas. Number one, that there is a creator, and number two, that he's a powerful creator. This is discussed in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. And regardless of what a person's decision is about the question, the Bible indicates that every person who's ever lived is simply without excuse before God for that knowledge. This does not have anything to do with salvation, but it simply establishes the fact that the universe we live in is a universe of order and pattern. And so this was the reason for our beginning the programs, and it is my personal goal still that it will be of benefit to fellow believers. It will help you who do not have a background in science particularly, simply to understand that when viewed correctly, nature offers powerful arguments in refuting evolution, and it really does not serve as a basis of evidence for it. And so, if you happen to tune in today for the first time, all of a sudden we're talking about metamorphosis, something that may be a completely new term to you, and wonder what in the world is going on. Well, this gives you some idea about the purpose of the program and the desire that those of us who have been involved with it have. If you have listened long, you're probably aware of the fact that I am an entomologist by graduate training. I have taught biology now for almost 50 years and have had a rather broad experience in science, and also have a desire to be able to present to my students the subjects of science in a consistent creationist biblical framework, and hopefully bring that to the programs as well. We've been talking now for several programs about the process of metamorphosis, how that insects specifically, although all the arthropods do this, insects will begin as eggs. They will have a change from the egg, hatch from the egg, and form a larval stage, an immature stage. And then after a period of time, the majority of insects will have a resting stage. In the case of butterflies, the pupa or chrysalis. And then after that resting stage, they will emerge from the cocoon or whatever form they have been resting in into the adult. Sexual reproduction occurs, eggs are produced, and that cycle simply continues. And we've been trying to emphasize the idea that this cycle, that each stage in that cycle, the organisms are so complicated, and so the parts of the organisms are interdependent to the point that trying to conceive of these things occurring simply as a culmination of some evolutionary process simply does not make any sense. I will not attempt to go back through all the things that we have talked about. We've talked about the various types of metamorphosis. We have talked a little bit about the structure of insects. We spent one program looking at the changes that occur in the exoskeleton of the insects, the chitinous wall, how that in a live insect, the muscles, for example, are all attached to that exoskeleton. And in these various stages of change, that has to change. The muscles become disattached, and the body shape changes, and then there has to be a proper reattachment of muscles for completely different purposes. The example that I presume would be familiar to most of you would be the butterfly, where the larval stages would be what are sometimes referred to as caterpillars, legless, creeping along the ground. The resting stage comes, and then they emerge from that as butterflies. And obviously, the adult butterfly body is immensely different from the caterpillar. And the idea that somehow all of the changes that occur in that change of form came into existence as a result of an evolutionary process is simply ludicrous. And while I'm sure most of you are not interested in the details of the process, it is not necessary that you be particularly, but I hope you arrive at the conclusion with us that it simply is not possible to look at the detail of all of the things that we, the varied structures, varied organisms that we see in nature, and be content simply with the idea that they have managed to arrive at this point through some kind of evolutionary process. Now, on the last program, we were talking about histological changes. If you were to take, I taught a course in histology for some years. Histology is simply a study of tissues, and it occurred to me after taping the last program that there probably are some, perhaps many, who really don't have any idea what tissues are. And so I thought perhaps it might be helpful if we would go back and establish, at least briefly, what we're talking about when we say we're looking at changes in tissues. There are basically four kinds of tissues in bodies, your body, the human body, and invertebrate bodies, and in most of the invertebrate bodies as well. Tissues are simply some combination of cells, some kind of fibers, and some kind of ground substance. And a particular tissue is going to carry out certain functions that the other types of tissue are not capable of. There are four kinds of tissue that occur. Epithelial tissue. Epithelial tissue is made up primarily of cells, very little ground substance, virtually no fibers in it. Epithelial tissues are, they always have a secretory function. That is, they are producing something that is capable of being used elsewhere. There are two basic types of epithelial tissue are simple epithelial tissue and stratified. And as that term suggests, simple epithelial tissue are simply single cell layers of tissue. There are several types of epithelial cell, usually designated on the basis of their shape. There is squamous epithelial cell. These look sort of like a fried egg, flat, and there are varieties of squamous epithelium. There are also cuboidal epithelial cells. These are cells which are basically have basically the same dimension in the same size in each of the three dimensions, so that they resemble cube. They're not like a box. You don't have square corners on them, but the dimensions are pretty much the same. There is columnar epithelium, which sort of resembles a shoebox. One dimension is much longer than the other. There are pseudo-stratified tissues. Those that the pseudo means that they appear to be a single, appear to be stratified, but actually are just a single layer. And then there is the pseudo-stratified ciliated. They appear to be stratified, and they also have cilia of some sort. Stratified epithelium means there are several layers of epithelial cells, squamous, columnar, transitional. Now, all of these things need not concern you particularly, but I thought it might be helpful if we simply established clearly what tissues are. Each of them have their own functions. Each of them are different from the other types of tissue. And again, they speak of the idea of a creator, not simply a matter of evolving the four different types of tissue that we find in most organisms.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson at bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.